Hilariously Melbourne. Fifi, Feb and Nick are brought to you by Burbank Homes. Find out about their big bonus promotion for title landholders and save up to 18K on your new home. Head to burbank.com.au. TNCs apply. 101. This is the
Fox. Because we're heading out, breaking the burbs every Friday. Hoppers Crossing last week. That's where you grew up, Nick.
So much fun.
This Friday, we're going to Croydon, where I grew up, and the Croydon Hotel. And I've said this a few times. The Croydon Hotel was formerly a nightclub called Area. And when I was a teenager, that's where all the older kids were going. So when I was like in year 9 and 10, it was like, oh, one day I'll go to Area. And then in year 12, I was one of the young kids. So I didn't turn 18 till I finished school. So my friends were starting to turn
18. Well, you're March,
aren't you? Yeah, March.
And I'm April, and the cutoff's April 30. My birthday, so.
And you're both short, so you would have needed this.
So anyway, I always wanted to go to the Croydon Hotel, and that was the very first nightclub I went to. And as I said a bit earlier in the show too, the good thing was, I still don't like nightclubs. I didn't like nightclubs when I was 17. I didn't like them when I was 20, and I really don't like them now in my 40s. Yeah. I'm not a nightclubber.
Imagine if you just, it's a late bloomer, and you're a 50s clubber.
Going to over 50s.
No, I'm still going to the regular ones. Just 50.
Now, this won't impress you because, so my girlfriends were 18, they were going, and I remember thinking, and I really wanted to go, and some of my friends were sneaking out to go, so they were telling their mums, oh, I'm just going over to a friend's house, but they were actually going to Area. And I had told my mum, I really want to go to this nightclub. And this was really progressive, I thought, of Pearl at the time. She said, okay, you can go, but I'm going to take you, I'll drop you off, so at 10 o'clock. But even back then, when I was 17, I was like, can we not go at 7? Like, do we have to go late? So did I, waiting to go when I want to go to bed. And then she said, and I'm picking you up at midnight. You come out the front and I will be out the front.
Jeez.
So I loved that. Like, other kids were like, you know, getting hitchhiking to get there. But mum was like, I will drop you off and I will pick you up.
So that's why we're so different. I was first there, last to leave every time.
Wow.
I remember my first time at the Croydon Hotel. I remember going in. I just hate it. I just didn't like it. I know I'll enjoy it more this Friday, obviously, when they're hosting us.
There's nothing better than when you're 2021 going to a nightclub full of people, hot chicks, there's drinks.
And now I get why you don't like nightclubs, because your mum dropped you off and picked you up and you had a 2-hour window. You're only getting into the groove, I reckon.
No,
2 hours
I was just. Do you know what the funny thing was? Back to fake ID. So I did have a fake ID, and it was from a girl who was in the year above me, a intern. And I think her name was Lisa Soames. I can't remember. But I had her. She was blonde, long hair like me. And there was a similarity. But I remember the second time. So that was sort of start of the year. Then I remember for the September holidays, I went up to Surface, and I was trying to get into Cocktails and Dreams, another great nightclub. And
just the classic spot.
I had my fake ID on me, and you know how you do that whole learn it, learn their birthday, learn everything?
Yeah, star sign.
I'd learnt that, the star sign. I learnt the day I was born. I learnt what street I lived in for my fake ID. But the guy got me, the bouncer got me with a curly question. So I've walked in and he said to me, hey, how old are you? I said, 17. Like, I didn't expect that one.
Oh, my God.
You idiot.
Well, okay.
Now I know why you're not on the Walk of Excellence at Tintern. You got tricked by a Gold Coast bouncer.
That's unbelievable. Why would you say that?
Because in my brain I'm like, you know, 14th of September, 1978, 40th of September, I kept doing the
dates.
But
as soon as you said 17, you go, I tricked you. Obviously I'm 18.
Yeah. Well, I sort of laughed. He laughed.
Did he let you in?
Of course he did.
Yeah, good on him. Good on him. What did it cost you for the ID?
I was a 17-year-old
girl. What did it cost you?
What do you mean?
Did you have to buy it?
I didn't have to buy it. The girl just gave it to me.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that was nice.
I remember when I went and brought me as... I didn't need one. Man, I was a man child. I brought me as one. I remember I spoke about this on the radio. She was down in the peninsula and Mia was like 17 at the time and she was going to schoolies, so she needed an ID. And there was a girl that looked like her she found her on Instagram. And we drove down to the peninsula somewhere. I drove her because she obviously couldn't drive. And I think it was like 40, 60 bucks maybe to buy her fake ID and she used it for like the week.
It was that girl's real ID.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. And she used it and worked.
What, for the week? And then you give it back at the end of the week?
Yeah, that's what they do now. They hire them out. They hire their licenses out.
131060, fake ID stories. Do you have them from back in the day when you were there? Or is this a new, I didn't even know.
They hire them out.
Can I just say this? It's frowned upon.
Come on, we've all done it. Surely, any person, any PC police out there They want to whinge about it. When you were that age, you used to do it. Everyone's done it. If you haven't gone to a nightclub underage, you haven't lived.
Yeah, I don't know.
You all would have. Everyone would have.
Well, you're right. I mean, you're
even
right.
James Blake would have.
James Blake, because he would be our most upstanding member of the team.
Oh, actually, it went in the reverse. Someone asked me for my ID once I was 18. Said, oh, can I have your learners for a fake ID? And I went, no, I'm still using it. Sorry, mate. Still using my learners.
Did you ever use a fake ID, James Blake?
I was a prefect. Absolutely not.
Well, I was a school captain and I did.
See, when you said I thought James Blake was the reverse, I thought like last weekend he'd try to go to a blue light disco. That wouldn't...
Oh, dear.
It's just good. It's Fanta and Coca-Cola.
Oh, no. Everyone's scared. ScoMo rings in. Everyone's like, hey, Pearl rings in. I was like, ooh. Yeah.
Same red light went off in the studio.
It did. It went nuts.
It's my mum. Mum, hi, Pearl.
Hi, guys.
Hello, g'day. Pearl.
Anything you
just
want?
Just your memory fee. I didn't even go home. I sat in the car park waiting for you to come out.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Well, you do have a better memory than I have anyway, but that was pretty cool of you, I thought, don't you think?
It was. Nobody else was allowed to go, and you were so desperate to go. And I thought, oh, well, I'll let her try this. I will be around. And that's what happened.
Pearl.
So I drove you there, sat in the car park, waited for you to come out again, and then drove you home.
Did you have those awesome yellow-tinted glasses of yours? I love them so much. They're the only two photos I've seen.
Nick.
Were you sitting in the car with those on? That'd be so rad.
Bono's
no,
here.
No, I've only become like that since I got old.
No.
Pearl, I did pick that you would have sat in the car. I said that earlier because I predicted
did
that.
You?
I predicted that you would have sat in the car. Now, did you look at the front door and the back door to see if your young, innocent daughter ventured out with a man or had a little pash or anything? Did she do anything?
No, to be honest, Steve, she was so young, she wouldn't have known anything about that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She just wanted to go and have a look. She wanted to go and see what it was like. She wanted to be like all the big people.
Yeah, I did.
She was 17.
Oh. Yeah.
No. I think she might have been a bit younger than that, Fee.
Pearl, do you think Fee was going out to gather intel on nightclubs? It's not in the SAS.
I have no idea what
have a little
doing.
Look.
My favourite part.
I was one of those really cool mums.
You were. No, it was good because I then...
You are.
She's right, though. I never went back. Well, I might have gone back when I got a bit older, but that was the end of it. I went, oh, is that what they're all talking about? But the best part about where we're going, the Croydon Hotel there, and you'll remember this, Mum, it was just... I remember going to Area and going, this is quite boring. Let's all go to McDonald's.
Drink,
McDonald's
bro.
Was like 500 metres away. That was the best part.
But you can't be the judge of that because you don't drink.
Yeah.
You can't go to a nightclub.
But
night
I didn't allow you to go to McDonald's either. That wasn't my thing either.
No.
Oh, God.
I know.
What could she do, Pearl?
Imagine being sober in a nightclub.
I know.
Awful. It's not what they're designed for.
Thanks, Mum.
Bye.
Bye. And we've got Andrea from Mornington. Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
Andrea, did you use a fake ID?
I did, and about a couple of dozen other girls in my year level.
Great.
Use the same ID.
Oh, same one.
It was before the days of photo IDs. It was just a piece of paper. A license was a piece of paper.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah.
And it worked out well until the girl who actually owned the ID couldn't actually get in because there'd been too many girls with her name entering the venue.
Oh, that's pretty funny. When it's your actual ID and you can't get in.
Yeah.
That's great.
How good was that back in the day? Just a bit of paper with some scribble on it. That's your ID.
Back in the day, we used to go to the Tunnel nightclub, and every person on the list's name was there to get like a $100 drink card or something.
What?
So all the football, every footy player's name. Like, it doesn't matter if you're like a rookie list player. And I used to take my mate in who looked like Lance Whitnall, and so we used to always say he was Lance Whitnall when we walked in, and we went to go in once, and I go, oh, this is Brendan Favola, I'm 25, this is Lance Whitnall, he's 8, and they go, well, Lance Whitnall's already in here. And we got busted and we never got let back in. Been doing it for ages.
Oh, thanks, Andrea. Kate in queue. Hi, Kate.
Hi, guys. How you going?
Katie. Great, Kate. Did you get caught with some, or have a story about fake ID?
I actually had my own fake ID.
What do you mean?
How does that work?
So Vic Rhodes got my birthday wrong on my learners.
Yeah.
So it's a year older.
Yeah, for about 10 months, I had my own ID.
Oh, wow. Right. That's amazing.
I know. It was pretty good.
That is, because they don't get much wrong.
No.
Certainly.
It was just the month. So I'm the 11th, so November, and they put the 1st. So
you got an extra 10 months.
Yeah, and I was like the youngest of my group too, so it was the best.
Become the oldest.
Kate, was there any issue at the end of that license when you go, it's actually should have been November?
No, I just went into Vic Roads and said, you got my birthday wrong, and they just changed it.
I just would have ran with it so you were younger, like you would have been older. I just would have kept it.
Yeah, I didn't want to be older.
No, I don't want to be have older now. Birthdays. I'm nearly 30.
Have your real 40s. Birthday and your Vic Roads
take
birthday.
It back, yeah.
That's good. I was just thinking about that. If you were 16, that would have been like Christmas. Like, are you kidding me? Thanks, Kate. Phil from Torquay. Hi, Phil.
Phil. Hey, guys. How you going, guys?
Great, Phil. What's your fake ID story?
Well, it was actually when I was back at uni about 20 years back. My friend and I at uni, we found a pile of student union IDs. Just basically, there used to be a piece of folded cardboard, which you put a passport photo on and laminated it. And so my mate and I found this whole stack. We thought this is a way to make some beer money. So what we did, we sold the fake IDs to all of our friends at uni's younger brothers and sisters for £5 each.
Oh, that is genius. Right. Do you know, Phil, I was only thinking before, I'd love to hear from the people who made the fake IDs. Because, you know, there would be people that make them.
I was that devil, unfortunately. But the best part was, not only did my friends, younger brothers and sisters get a fake ID, they also got 10% off all the bars.
Oh.
It was like a little.
How did you get 10% off?
Yeah.
Student union
card.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it was like a little laminate machine. One of my mates had them and they just go and it puts a laminate. It was easily done. And make a fortune.
Easy then.
Some blokes were selling them at our school for like $100 and you got to keep the ID.
See, when I hear like who's making the fake IDs, I was expecting the cartel voice in a documentary. Yeah, then we took it to a laminator. I didn't expect Phil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I was a cheeky devil. Look at it. £5, look at it.
Thanks, Phil. Michelle from Berwick. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, guys. How you going?
Good, Michelle. What happened with some fake ID?
Well, it was our daughter, actually. She was desperate to go in with her friends into the city the very first time. And we said, okay, no worries. You've told us about it, so we're okay with it. So we said, we'll make a deal with you. You go in with your friends and then me and Dad will come in later in the night and we'll just hang about in the city and wait for you until you're ready. It didn't matter what time it was. We'll just, go to Crown or something.
Yeah, perfect.
And so they went in, they were all excited, got dressed up, went in the cab, went into the city, and we went in probably at about 10 o'clock, went and had some dinner, went into Crown. We were having a great time and, got onto the roulette tables and were playing the tables, and about 12 o'clock we got this phone call from our daughter saying, can you come and get us? Like, it's really hot in the club and we just want to go home. And we were like, we're winning on the table. Can you sort of wait? And they were like, what? But we're really hot and it's, it's yucky. We want to go home. We've gone, okay, just give us half an hour and we'll see how we go. Anyway, they ended up ringing us back in half an hour going, how long are you going to be? We're like, look, we're nearly there. Just, 20 minutes longer.
Thanks for calling, Alex.
They ended up having to wait for us. And
the
then,
roles reversed.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
You know where there's aircon? The cask. Come on. 101.9
The Fox. Now, if you're a regular listener to the show, you would know that right now we usually play Alpha Bucks. There's only one man that can hold up Alpha Bucks. He's the top dog. He's called through to the show. He's the prime minister, Australia's leader. He's here on the show. Let's all say hello to ScoMo, the PM ScoMo. It's time for ScoMo. It's time for ScoMo. ScoMo. Prime Minister, ScoMo. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you guys. How are you all doing?
We're good.
Doing well, Prime Minister. And look, I want to start. I'm going hard. I've got to come in on the most talked about issue of the last 24 hours.
How are you feeling?
It's everywhere, Prime Minister. The most talked about curry in the country, your chicken korma. You love posting photos of your food. We love seeing it. But everybody is convinced that the chicken korma you cooked the other night had raw chicken. Is this true or false?
It's absolutely untrue. People went back for seconds. It was in the pan for a good 45 minutes, I can tell you, because I've had it there myself.
Really?
It was just the way the light bounced off the skin of the chicken. So, and it was really nice. And I can tell you the other one, the eggplant and okra curry, which was a Sri Lankan one. And I picked up the okra and the eggplant up in Rockhampton when I was visiting the markets up there. And so to everyone up there, thank you. It was delicious.
Yeah, it looks good. Ken cooks, ScoMo. I watch on his Insta. Mm. Do you actually cook at all, or you got people doing that stuff for you, bro?
No, man, I enjoy doing it. I mean, we all do things to sort of switch our mind off to deal with stuff. I go for a swim, I cook, you know, I go and watch the footy. I spend a lot of time when I can with the kids and, you know, that's, you know, drop wet a line even on the weekend with my daughter just to get an hour or so off.
PM, I've got to ask, you said you picked up some of those veggies in Rockhampton. I know when I've tried to fly with an apple once before and a beagle almost took my leg off at the airport. How'd you get it through?
Got his own plane, bro.
Very helpful with the RAF. Complied with all requirements.
Now, Prime Minister, how are you going? I mean, this is, you're gearing up for your grand final. As you know, we're with an elite former AFL great in the studio.
Yes, that's right.
And I was actually thinking, Prime Minister, what would Fev ask you today? Because for the last 12 months, anytime you've been on the show, all you've asked Scott is, when are you calling the election?
Yeah, because I want to have a punt.
Oh, okay.
But it's great because ScoMo's doing a great job. I think he's going to win. But when it comes to Ladbrokes and Sportsbet, he's a $3 underdog, which is great. Juicy odds. Just keep doing what you're doing, ScoMo, because when it comes to election day, you'll come forward like you did last time and we'll get on you and we're going to be excited. But something else that is big today, ScoMo, is the interest rates for every Australian home. They reckon they're going to go up, but I reckon it's going to be next month. I reckon they'll hold it off they'll hold it off today, won't they?
Well, look, it's up to the Reserve Bank, as you know. They make so they make that decision. We make other decisions, and they're going to have to make the right decision for the country. But we know that there's a lot of pressure on people at the moment. I mean, we've come through the pandemic really, really well compared to other countries. But the challenges are not over yet. And so there's pressure on prices. People know that. There's pressure on interest rates. And that's why this election is so important. I mean, all that pressure, as I think people know and understand, is coming from overseas. We've got a war in Europe. We've got the impact of the pandemic, which has affected what's called supply chains all around the world and transport costs. And that's pushing up prices all around the world. I mean, in the United States, it's well above here. Inflation's running at 8.5%. Even in New Zealand, it's up at close to 7%. It's 5.1 here in Australia. And our interest rates, you know, they're at 0.1%. And that is historically very, very low. I mean, they haven't gone up for over 11 years. And they're at historic lows. But that doesn't mean that, you know, when they go up, that isn't going to cause some challenge for people. That's why at this election, who you choose to run the economy, who you choose to manage the finances, it's a very important decision. And we've got the economic plan that has seen Australia through and will continue to see Australia through. And that's why we're saying to people to vote Liberal and National, because that's how you can keep this shield up that we've put up for Australia to protect Australia from a lot of these forces that have been coming from overseas. We've fared so much better, and we can continue to do that with that strong economic management.
Now, mate, your sparring partner, Albo, he went to Perth to, you know, launch his campaign. He was in quarantine for a little bit. It was the first time in like 30 or 40 years someone's done that. It's a big seat, WA. I reckon it's going to be the turning point to whoever wins. Are you going to go and announce some of your big plans in Perth? Because I think that'll be a great move, because he played his cards early, and I just think you can come and go bang, checkmate.
Well, I was actually there a week before him. I've been there several times and announced a lot more policy than he even attempted.
Bang, you win. Yep.
But importantly, I mean, over there, the mining and resources industry is so important, and it's actually important for the whole country. For the Western Australian economy, when they do well, the rest of us do well as well. And that's why, you know, we've done what we've done to support Western Australia, but particularly ensuring their resources industry continues to be successful, because all that stuff going out on ships over there is paying for Medicare. It's paying for the National Disability Insurance Scheme. It's paying for the pensions. And that's why our resources industry has to be successful. And they're very environmentally conscious now. I mean, our mining industry is leading the world in mining industries and reducing emissions. And the technology they're using, and we're supporting them to do that, particularly with our investments in hydrogen fuels, which increasingly will be fueling up all those big mining trucks going around sites. Mm.
I love that. They're also, Prime Minister, I didn't know, that was the first time, Fev, I've seen you give the Prime Minister advice. It's like you could be a political advisor. Would you consider ever taking him on for another election campaign down the track, Prime Minister?
Oh, well, I'm sure he'd be my best AFL advisor.
I would, ScoMo. And I've seen you sip a beer. I could be a good drinking buddy.
Yeah, mate, I have no doubt about that. I don't need too much help on that front. I managed to get through that pretty comfortably.
You're sounding really relaxed and calm. You're midway through this election campaign. Thank you for joining us, finding the time to get us on the show. And, I mean, we could keep you on if you wanted to play Alpha Bucks, but there's probably two people that in the electorate who would like to have a go themselves.
I suspect they would.
Yes.
Well, thanks for having me on, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
101.9 The Fox.
Hughesy Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, which means our favourite Tuesday guest is in the studio, and that means a lot because the Prime Minister's coming up, Dave Hughes.
Yes, ScoMo, did he cook his chicken or not? That's the question, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. First question we're asking.
Yeah, about the curry. See the curry photo? Yeah. The raw chicken. So,
Do you reckon he cooks any of that stuff when he goes in? Because he's been putting up a heap of photos of him cooking, but he's just got the spoon holding over the hot pot. I don't reckon he is.
But I'd love to see him in MasterChef next series if he fails as a Prime you know, if it doesn't work out, if he loses the Prime Ministership. He could go on MasterChef, couldn't he?
Or he's up in the jungle trying to recreate his career.
He could be in the jungle. He ended up on Breakfast Radio. I love it.
How are you, Hughesy? You good?
I'm really good.
You're out and about.
I am out and about.
Melbourne Comedy Festival's finished. How's being at home at night time?
Yeah, look, it's the same. It's samey, you know. So, yeah. And can I just say to my wife and everyone listening, I forgot that Mother's Day is on Sunday. And I will be in Brisbane. So
I'll be away too. I'm in Broken Hill.
Yeah, right.
Have you organised presents?
I haven't organised. Surely. I've been thinking about it for a long time. Yeah.
Your kids are old enough.
Yes.
We had this chat yesterday, Fev. You said, are you in charge for buying? Yeah.
And I went out yesterday and got them.
Yeah, but me is 22. Raph's what?
He's 13.
He's got heaps of coin when he
doesn't lose his Mikey card, and you know.
Dolomite? Does he have a Dolomite?
No, he's got some. There's some little card you can get. It's a Wiggy or a Squiggy or something. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, Nick. He should have some cash because I saw Hughesy on Saturday night at the footy. I went into a box to host with Greg Williams with a couple of Carlton supporters. Hughesy was at the president's lunch. Or dinner. I got up and did a speech, and then Hughesy came and found me in my little box, which was next door, and I said, "G'day, mate, how you going?" Blah blah blah. And I go, "Did you get paid for that?" He goes, "Yeah, cashy." And I'm like, "Wow, he got paid to do the Carlton Footy Club, which he loves. Took money from him, but also speaking about Raph, who's turned 13.
Well, you didn't get paid.
No, I didn't get paid. No,
well, you cost them. Though, yeah, didn't you?
No, yeah. I didn't cost them. I cost them flags. Cost them flags. And then I said to Hughesy, "Who are you with?" And he goes, "Well, I'm with the beautiful Holly, with my wife, and Raph's birthday, and eight kids."
Yes.
Got eight kids into the president's lunch.
Eight kids into the footy. And they were sitting down below. And I said, "Mate, did you pay for those tickets?" He goes, "No." So he's got Raph a birthday present. Got all his mates to the footy for free, milked the Carlton Footy Club, which is cute.
No.
For cash.
No, it wasn't cash, but it was mates' rates, and I haven't put the invoice in yet, but it was mates' rates, and it was an offer. The kind people at the Carlton Footy Club who want to bring all their legends back, that's why they got me back, and they want Fev to be part of the team now, you know, so, and they're happy, and you know what, Fev, you probably could have got a bit of coin if you had asked, but you, as Nick said, you have got a lot of money off that club over the journey.
Yeah, and they made a lot of money off me too.
Well, that's true. No doubt. Number 25 is in the back of a lot of jumpers still to this day.
And you've just got to remind Holly that you already took her to a Mother's Day dinner. It was a week early.
It was a week early and she had a great time.
Bloody
so,
tight ass.
Yeah.
You are a mate of ours though, Hughesy. Mm. And even when you're not here on the show on Hughesy Tuesday, you're sort of here in spirit because we talk about you a bit. In fact, the other day there was, Fev started it, there was an impersonation of you that then spiralled into lots of impersonations of you. Would you like to hear your good friends impersonating you?
Yeah, let's go. Okay. Let's go.
Here it is.
Fly. We love you. It's been a good crowd.
The ultimate street party happening tomorrow. Hoppers Crossing. Let's get out of here. We'll see you live.
That was Fev's Hughesy impression.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Hughesy, I love you. You've been the best crowd ever.
You're the best crowd I've ever had.
Maybe you do it. You do it, Hughesy. Can you do it, Hughesy?
Go on.
Okay. So we're going to the Hoppers Club as Hughesy.
We're going to Hoppers Club.
That's atrocious, isn't it?
No, that is. I'm humbled. I mean, that is. Yeah. That's the pinnacle of my career. That means you've made it. when what there's are that you legend
fee. Well, I want to know what you hear.
On, they put me on the spot.
No, I liked
never
it.
Attempted what? You.
I liked it, mate.
That was a different gender, different hemisphere, different.
You sound like Marge Simpson.
No, look, I think Fifi did a great job, and that's, you know, for me, that's it. Guys.
Humbling.
For you guys giving impersonations, blah, 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 when she has an attempt at it and gets so close.
Thank you.
Well, you've had time to think about it, Fee. We've had a weekend to brush up on your Husey impression.
Give us to
two
Huseys.
To me.
Husey to my face. Okay. Here we go.
Okay. Here we go. Give it to us live. You've been a great crowd.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can you do a Fee Husey?
Can I do a Fee?
Yeah.
Oh, Feb, shut up.
Melbourne's 101.9 The Fox.
How's this? There is a list of animals owned by men who are more prone to cheat on their partners. Cheating.
Golden retriever at the top.
No.
They just get the most attention at the beach, I reckon.
But can that's
I
have a guess? A good point. Yes.
Snakes.
You've read the article. Oh. Of course you have. Of course you've read the article. Dogs, though, were in at 7, which does surprise me.
Everyone's
I would have
got
thought,
dogs, though.
Yeah. That's
not everyone's
a good
got snakes.
Point. I don't like that, though.
What percentage of snake owners, though?
20%.
It's actually lower than I thought.
I can't believe that. Who'd have a snake? Oh, snakes.
I would. I wanted one.
What?
Oh, I love snakes.
No. You?
Are you joking?
No, I really like snakes. So what? I just love the feel of them. I
not
love
the Allen snakes. We're talking proper
no.
ones.
Yeah. Okay, so this
snakes
all started
alive.
When I was...
Hughie's coming up.
You may recall...
Open the pack, they're all dead.
I'm sorry.
When I was a Sunrise weather presenter, as you know, the wild and wacky things a weather presenter does on Sunrise, I would go to lots of reptile parks and I got into that. They wanted to drape them around my neck all the time and they drape and they're so silky and smooth and I couldn't stop touching them. I just wanted to just stroke them the whole morning. And then I talked to one of the reptile guys at the reptile park about getting one. And he suggested one that I get. I don't want a biting one. I just want one that's just.
You don't want a biting snake.
No.
They all bite.
And
what
then,
do you get? What type of snake was it?
A toothless, venomous.
Grass snake or something.
Oh.
Just a little one that I could put in a little aquarium. But then
easy
I was traveling. I was on the road, so I couldn't really get it. But and then I remember, you can't listen to this. Then, as a good stunt. Jules Lund, who I was working with at the time, Fifi and Jules for the drive home, he wanted to prank me and he decided to get, he put, Leon, you were there for this. Yeah, Leon, what did he do to me? What did you do to me?
Well, okay.
What did you do?
We put you in a coffin and filled it with snakes. Like before I'm a Celebrity was a thing and you loved it.
Yeah, he thought it was a bad thing. Oh, I couldn't get enough of them. There were snakes all over me. I was covered in about 100 snakes
you
and
dozed
I
off.
Loved it. Yeah,
like,
it was great.
Like one of those weighted anxiety blankets.
Melbourne's 101.9 The Fox.
Now, there are two forms of parenting in the studio. Three of us here are parents. Fev and I tend to spoil our kids probably too much. And Nick, you don't approve of that parenting. And there is an argument that you're right. I realise I need to maybe have probably gone too far. I'm dealing with a toddler that doesn't understand.
Yeah, if a toddler's running the day, that's a real bad sign.
How do you feel about this, though? A four-year-old boy.
Sure, I don't know. Dad, I want this. No, man. All right.
My toddler runs my whole day.
Same. My whole
day. Dad, let's do this. Okay.
Oh, no, let's do something. Yeah, fun activity.
Dad,
great.
I want that toy.
I want that.
Oh,
I want
I'll
that.
Take you to Kmart. Or buy it for you.
I'm just saying, name one adult that got given everything that's a good person. There's not one. They are awful human. No. They got given anything they pointed at turns into
you're
a good bloke.
One.
No.
You didn't get everything.
I wanted an elf doll once and I didn't get that.
You got a horse instead.
I didn't get a horse.
A pony.
Got
no,
actual
I
elf. They got an alien from space.
I didn't get a horse
I'll do you
a
one
pony.
Better.
They got her a UFO.
So, how's this?
All right, off to Area 51. Come on.
There's a kid in Holland, in Amsterdam, and he's 4 years old, stolen his mum's car, driven it, taken it for a joyride. Taking his mum's car for a joyride. The police have ended up catching him. They got him.
Yeah.
And then they bought him some toys.
What do you mean?
Oh, that's cute. they gave him some toys.
For what?
A four-year-old. Well, because I guess they felt sorry for him.
A toy car?
Yeah.
You should have got him a toy. That's cute.
That's the police. I'd be proud. Rewarding him with toys.
If that was Toby, I'd be proud, man. If you could drive my car and get away with it.
I know. You know what?
That's impressive, man.
I weirdly am impressed.
Yeah, that's impressive.
He drove a car, didn't crash it. Yeah. No. He's four.
He's at the police station. They gave him hot chocolate, sat him down, hot chocolate, gave him some toys.
And do you know what he's going to do next time when he's feeling a bit flat and wants
steal
something?
A bigger
steal
car.
Steal another car.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't you?
I got a teddy bear.
It is, I don't know, it is impressive. Unless the cops are like, this kid is psycho. This kid's cold-blooded. Let's just give him a treat. Keep him, you know, we've got his
Charlie
fingerprints.
Does not get wind of this, though, because you've put your foot down on a lot of things. But now stealing cars might actually get Dad across the line. Dad's quite impressed.
Well, if he puts his foot down on an accelerator and does all right, I will get him a tour. You drive yourself to the shop. 101.9 The
Fox. Funny thing happened in the news cycle yesterday, in entertainment news, I should point out. A news story hit yesterday, I believe it was from a women's mag, and let's be honest, I don't think fact-checking's their strong suit.
Who'll be married?
No, no, it wasn't about me. Gone quiet on my personal life, which is wonderful. No, they were suggesting that Kath and Kim was getting a reboot and maybe going to streaming.
Oh, cool.
Maybe a streaming service had taken it on and they were going to reboot it because people had seen vans and trucks around the house where it was filmed.
Ah.
So it's filmed in Taylor's Lake. Is that right? Hang on.
Paterson Lakes.
So people had seen all the trucks around the property and went, oh, that's a crew. They're coming out to film. And then literally that would have been out midday yesterday that story was out. And then by the end of the day, oh, no, the story had completely changed to the house featured in Kath and Kim is being demolished.
They were
the demolishing vans.
Yeah. People don't really know what a film crew looks like, do they?
No.
Oh, here we come, an excavator. They must be filming something. Oh, here we come.
Because they bought it for $1.4 million last year. And now they're knocking it down.
The Chateau Kath.
Yeah.
It's gone. And what's sad about this, and it's got that funnel, you know, when you think about the team behind Kath and Kim, I know separate team obviously to Working Dog with the castle, but it's got the castle vibes of trying to save their property out near the airport. Because people are now trying to get around it and save this. Oh, no, they've started. Like, there's rubble in the front yard.
Yeah, it's gone.
You can't be saving this.
They said by Friday it'll be done. Like, it's already demolished.
Oh, that's
if they remade the castle now, the fight would be about them trying to subdivide it to put a bloody thing of apartments out the back.
Yeah.
Just everyone thinks they can build. Relax. Why are they knocking down the house?
I don't know.
The value was in it being the Kath and Kim house.
That's what I would have thought. Like, I was thinking this. Once Neighbours over, Pin Oak Court in Ramsey Street. But also, if you're selling one of those properties, how great is it? Like that you will get some crazed
English
TV
person.
Fans going, yes, I get Toadie's house. I bought it. Wouldn't you? I don't know how the property works.
No. No, I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't
you
buy
wouldn't?
It because Toadie. I'd buy his house that he owns in the peninsula, though, if he was giving that away.
I think he's already sold that.
Oh, he sold that. That was a great property.
You really like the Domain Confidential, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Hilariously Melbourne.
Fifi, Bev and Nick are the team you can trust to keep you laughing on your drive to work. And Burbank Homes are the national builder you can trust. Search Burbank Homes today. 101.9